The Guardian.
Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes creating a professional website for your business, personal brand, or portfolio so easy, it's newsworthy. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
The National Law School in Bangalore, India, has a program just for children to get them engaged with law at an early age. About 25 of them, all from neighbouring villages, form a committee and talk about issues affecting them.
It could be lack of toilets in the school. It could be teachers not showing up.
This is Deborah Doan. She's a consultant and writer based in India.
And then the National Law School helps them to advocate on their behalf. It's a great program. So they kindly took me out to a village, Bairagi Colony, only about 40 kilometres from Bangalore, but still feeling very rural.
The village itself is made up of about 60 people. And here's an interesting side note. Every man in the village is an astrologer.
Astrology.
Astrology?
Yeah. Shastra. All the families.
Read poems and
yeah,
things.
Yeah, palms and all those.
Wow.
They're out of country, out
they
of
also go to the out of the country also.
Yes.
Some people are living in out of country. And they are just staying in America and England. From
Kerala.
This village.
Wow, from this village?
Yes.
This village. Because of their expertise in astrology.
Yeah.
So it's mainly women and children only who are left in the village. I finally recorded Ramya.
My name is Ramya.
They don't have any surnames in the villages.
And tell me, Ramya, where do you live?
My Bairagi Colony.
So Ramya isn't quite 13, though she's almost 13. She's very young sounding, though people in the villages at 12 and 13 are still very young compared to in the UK.
In the morning, I'll sweep the house, I'll put rangoli in front of the house, I'll wash the vessels and the clothes and help my mother in her cooking.
When I finally interviewed Ramya, I was really struck by how different girls are treated here. Not only than they're treated in the UK, but even how I was treated in the 1980s in Canada when I was growing up. So when I was Ramya's age, sex education certainly talked about more than just the physical changes. I remember it being extremely uncomfortable at the time, but we learned about emotional issues, we learned about mutual consent, we even learned about pleasure.
Do you have sex education classes? You asked the question.
Nimge sex education class idya?
Yes. Ide. ನಮಗೆ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಇದೆ.
ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಿಶೋರಿ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್ ವೇರ್ ದೇಲ್ ಟೀಚಸ್ ಸೆಕ್ಸ್ ಎಜುಕೇಷನ್.
ಆರ್ ಯು ಟಾಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಎಮೋಷನಲ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಬಯಾಲಜಿ?
ಅವರು ಫುಲ್ಲು ಏನಾದರೂ ಬೇರೆದೇನು ಹೇಳ್ಕೊಡಲ್ಲ, ಸುಮ್ಮನೆ ಹೇಗಿರಬೇಕು ಹೇಳ್ಕೊಡ್ತಾರಲ್ವಾ ಕ್ಲಾಸಲ್ಲಿ.
ಕ್ಲಾಸಲ್ಲಿ ಏನು ಹೆಂಗಿರಬೇಕು ಏನು ಮಾಡಬೇಕು ಎಲ್ಲ ಹೇಳ್ತಾರೆ.
ಇನ್ ದ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಇಲ್ ಟೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ಟು ಬಿಹೇವ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ರೂಮ್.
ಇನ್ ದ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ರೂಮ್?
ಯೆಸ್.
So it's not really about sex education?
No, that she'll tell afterwards. Only for the girls she'll teach.
Even after all of the awareness since the Delhi gang rape, and there's a lot of heightened awareness in the media about it, but girls in India, especially rural India, are taught that it's their fault if they're assaulted or raped.
This is a story from India that is becoming increasingly common. Only last week in Bangalore, a 6-year-old girl was raped in school. People have been out in their thousands in the streets asking for justice.
But, you know, I read one report in the media that the school says they can't guarantee children's safety, that these things will happen. And you hear that time and time again in the media, that boys will be boys. So when Ramya talked about her sex education experience, that they were taught about how to behave around boys, you know, I realized how much sex education is failing girls and how it will do so little to overcome the massive inequities we see here between boys and girls.
That got us thinking, how different are girls around the world today? What's it like to grow up, become a woman, depending on what you were taught by your school or parents or friends? Today, 7 girls, all at that crucial age, speak to us about their lives, their hopes for the future. This is the Global Development Podcast. I'm Carla Kwaithio-Okai. Stay with us. We'll come back to Ramya later. But first, to Kigali in Rwanda.
Right now, I sweep to remove the dirt. I do it every day. I also find grass for the rabbits and I cook the meal to help my parents.
Asia lives with her mom and dad on their banana plantation.
Here is my home. On the left, it is a forest and a neighborhood. This banana plantation here is ours. Mom and dad usually cultivate it. My school is behind this forest. It takes 15 minutes to walk there. It is in this room where my sister and I sleep. We sleep one beside the other on this straw mat. It is comfortable. I am very proud of that place. On the wall, I draw flowers with chalk to decorate the room. But my parents forbade me to continue to do this. So now, I only draw in my notebook. Here are soldiers who go to war. I copied a draw from a book. Here is a drawing of the human heart. The mistress drew it on the board and I copy it. Drawing is an art that I love. I take great pleasure in drawing the weekend and when I'm asked to do it at school.
We sent some questions along for all the girls we spoke to for this program. And the first, it pains me to say, is a bit of a cliche. What do you want to do when you're older?
I would like to be a doctor because doctors save lives. I remember the day when a doctor saved the life of my mother. When she gave birth to my brother, she had complications. It was very serious, but a doctor saved her. It is from that day that I wanted to become a doctor.
It's a similar story for Cynthia in Nairobi, about 15 hours away in Kenya.
I see myself as the manager maybe of a certain company, especially that of an optician. Maybe I want to know how to make the glasses, and even though I don't know any process or anything about it, but then I know I will.
We sent reporter Zoe Flood to talk to Cynthia.
And what's the problem with your eyes? Is it you're short-sighted or are you...
Yeah, I'm short-sighted. Even if I'm sitting in front, I cannot see the board. Then my mom could not afford that money to buy. So all the period that I was in primary, it was really hard. So when I be an optician, I want to help those two people who cannot help themselves.
Is your dad still alive or is he?
Okay, I don't know much about him, but I hear they separated with my mom.
Okay, so she's raised you as a single mom?
Yeah.
That must be hard work.
Yeah, I'm really proud of her because she decided even to take that risk. Yeah. I see garbage. I see smelly sewages. I see struggling people with the kibandas. I see bending houses. I hear a lot of sound pollution. The houses are made of iron sheet because, they get rust and sand. Yeah. So maybe, for example, a landlord buys a plot, then builds many houses to rent. Then many people just come there, you see. Now it's very congested.
As someone who has seen this same view for all of her young life, Cynthia has big plans for how she would change it.
Oh, if I was the president, I would have changed. I would maybe build the houses. Then maybe that railway line, I would see how I would like to locate it. Then water, you see, maybe even water spread diseases. So I will treat the water, then supply it everywhere. I will build hospitals because many people get sick, but they don't have any other ways. Because maybe you think, when I go to the hospital, government, it's expensive. Private, it's a lot more expensive. So many people just go to the chemistry, buy medicine, now. I would have changed that, really. That is the big one, yeah.
My name is Ana Gabriela Caballero-Tello, and right now I can see my friends taking part in a volleyball championship for a good cause. I would make changes for all those people who don't have enough money. Also, I would do something to stop the crime in Peru. The crime gets worse every day. Every day we hear that someone has killed their mother or has poisoned their children. So it's something that affects all of Peru, and I don't like it. I would look for a solution. I'm a very democratic person, so I listen to the opinions of the people around me.
Before she can focus solely on running for president, Ana is currently very busy at school and at home.
I wake up at around 6 o'clock to go to school. I come to school, study, and carry out my duties as a supervisor and as a leader. Most of all, I have to try and get the best out of everybody. I try to put into practice everything I've learnt and learn more. Then I go and have lunch with my mum, as I do every day, and go back to school for band practice. Then I go home to carry out my chores. My mother looks after my two cousins, and I have to help her because her health is delicate and sometimes she has to go to hospital. So I have to wait until my cousin comes home, feed her, change her, help her with her homework. It's a challenge because I don't think a person can help someone else and concentrate on their own homework. For me, it's difficult because I have several responsibilities that I have to carry out on top of looking after my cousin. I have to think about what I'm going to do tomorrow or my worries, like what did the doctor say to my mother, or if something happens to me, who will look after my mum? That's what I have to think about. Before, my mother had cancer. Now it's her back. In the last few days, she hasn't been able to walk well, and that's affected me because she's the only person I trust. And if one day she's gone, I don't know what I will do. So I think, I have to do everything now. I have to learn so that in the future, I can survive alone. That's what my mother taught me. You have to seize the opportunities now, because no one knows what the future holds.
Ana Gabriela Caballero-Tello, speaking to reporter Dan Collins.
Support for this Guardian podcast comes from Squarespace. When you need to know what's in the news, you turn to The Guardian. When you want to create something newsworthy, you turn to Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own professional website for your small business, online store, professional portfolio, or blog. Getting started takes only seconds. Just go to squarespace.com, and to support this podcast, use the offer code GUARDIAN to take 10% off.
This is the Global Development Podcast from The Guardian. Today, we're speaking to seven young women, all 13 years old, all from different countries, about their experiences, their hopes and dreams. So far, we've been to Kenya, India, Peru and Rwanda. Now we move to Pakistan. This interview was recorded and translated by Zofin Ibrahim and her niece, Fatima.
Hello, mera naam Muskan.
My name's Muskan. I'm 13.
Where do you live?
I live in Neelam Colony with my parents, my brother and a sister.
Where are we right now?
On the terrace. Most days we have no electricity, so I come up here as there is cool breeze.
What all can you see from up here?
I can see the sea, that big shopping mall over there, and rich people.
Have you ever been to any?
Yes, once with my mom. I liked their bedroom. It had a huge TV and a bed. There were so many nice things there. Everything about that room was nice. Today we didn't have electricity. It went at 11 in the morning and came back at 3 in the afternoon. Even in the morning there was no electricity from 8 to 10.
Must be quite a nuisance not having electricity.
I feel sweaty and smelly. And then when there is no electricity, there is no water either. I cannot watch TV or get any work done. Not even my homework.
Which class are you studying in?
Grade 1. My mother has also joined school with me.
But you're 13. How come you're still in grade 1?
Oh, that's because I never went to school when I was little. Both my parents went out to work and left me at home to take care of my younger siblings.
Why does your mom go with you to school?
My mom never got a chance to study, but she was always very keen. She will also get her certificate.
Tell me, who do you think are better, girls or boys?
Girls for sure. Because girls can share their secrets with each other, share things. They're brainier than boys. My mother helps my father a lot.
This is 13-year-old Jennifer, practicing her violin at a music club in Elephant and Castle in South London. Her parents are Vietnamese immigrants, but Jennifer has lived here all her life.
I think now girls are more equal than before, but still there are some sides where girls are lower than boys. Like there's some expectations that boys think girls need to live up to, either in looks mostly, talents, and then maybe even your intellect. Some would say that girls need to be smarter or boys are smarter and stronger. I think boys think they're clever. I think they expect girls to look pretty and keep looking pretty whenever they do anything. And boys should be the brains of stuff.
So do you think in yourself, do you try and live up to those ideals of what you think boys want you to look like, or do you just dress or do your hair or your makeup how you want it?
I do it how I want it because I don't think I should follow others. I'm quite similar to the expectation. Like, I like to look pretty, and sometimes that's to impress boys, but mostly to make myself feel confident. I do what I do to make myself happy, or mainly my parents happy, because I know they don't have what I have now.
So do you think there's a real difference between the opportunities your parents had and the opportunities you had?
Definitely, because they didn't live in London. They were in another country, and it was quite a few years ago when it wasn't as developed. And where I live, there are quite a lot of opportunities for me to do many things, and I get to learn many things. Yeah, and my parents didn't get that.
Do you think that girls are better than boys?
Coming to academically, I think they are equal, because if a girl child work hard and a boy child work hard, both of them will be just successful in life.
At your age in this school, do you have classes on sex education?
Yeah, there is. It's called life skills. Yeah.
And who teaches them, and what kind of things do you learn?
You know, it's just like a club. I've just asked my friends because I've never attended it. Yeah, they judge any question that you have about life, anything that really distracts you or anything, you just ask and you'll be given advice. But they won't just tell you that this is what you're supposed to do. They will make you to figure out yourself that this is what I'm supposed to do. Because maybe they may tell you this is what you are supposed to do. Then maybe you'll be doomed and you'll blame them. So, yeah.
And do you talk about issues relating to sex and to, like, your own body? Do you talk about it with your friends?
My mom tells me everything that I'm supposed to know. Yeah, about these boys, yeah, outside, she does not tell me not to mingle with them, but then it's not a bad thing being in their groups.
I think we should all worry about getting pregnant at any time. Apart from the fact we've been given clear and precise advice, everyone worries about this. Before it wasn't common to see pregnant girls, but nowadays it's very common and it's seen as normal. Most teenagers aren't aware of this and don't seem to worry, but to me it is worrying. If I had a friend who was pregnant, I would help her, even if her parents didn't understand her for whatever reason.
We have classes every Tuesday afternoon, only with girls. The teachers tell us how to avoid sharing sharp objects and avoid having sex. We heard about the condom too. We discuss about that at home too with my parents and sisters. My parents told us to avoid boys to prevent from getting pregnant. It is very important because I remember one of my friends who was driving from her home because she was pregnant. Her parents told her to live with these things she was carrying inside of her.
Yes, in the People, Family and Human Relations course, which we started when we began secondary school. The teachers take the time to teach us how not to make mistakes. I mean, in taking sexual relations as a game and not taking them seriously. Having sexual relations with anyone, leaving a girl pregnant and not assuming your role, that's what I mean by mistakes. I think when I'm big, I'll have a big house, or when I study, I think about having my own children one day, because I love kids.
This is Cynthia in Nairobi.
First, I will just enjoy life as a youth. Then maybe around my 26 there, it's then 26, 27 there, so maybe I will be considering maybe to get married. But that is not really in my mind now, yeah.
Do you want to have children one day, or how do you feel about children?
Children, yeah, I would like to. But in this environment, all children, yeah, maybe I will just see how it will go.
What are you, 30, 28, 27?
Yes, only when I'm about 30, 28, 27, because I want to give myself time. Everything has its moment. There are people who get married when they are 20, but that's when you're at university and you're only just beginning to define yourself as a person.
This is Valentina.
I wake up at 4:30. No, at 4 in the morning. I get on the bus. The school bus picks me up at 5:15.
She spoke to reporter Sibila Brzezinski at her school in Bogota, Colombia.
We arrive here at school at 7, and at 7:15 we start classes. For breakfast I eat fruit, Milo, arepa or different things. I get home at 5 p.m. It's a very long day, but it's because of where I live, because it's really far and sometimes I get really stressed because it takes 2 hours from my house to here. Every day I come and go, so it's very tiring. I get home late, and when I get home I do my homework, and then I have about an hour of free time and that's it. I relax and watch television, and sometimes I read. My sister and I always wanted to make cupcakes, and so we would look on the internet and we would make some and sometimes sell them. Then we decided to take a class with a woman who's an expert doing that, and then we made them and started showing them to people and selling them. The big ones we sell for 4,000 pesos, and the cookies cost 1,000 or 2,000 pesos. We invest that money to make more, and our profits we spend on things, and sometimes we save it for the future. Once I managed to save almost 1,000,000 pesos. I still have it. I don't want to spend it on candy, but on something special, something different. I have thought about making a donation to a foundation, like for children with cancer.
For me, I don't see anything that can stop me, except for that insecurity and other things.
Today the obstacles for me is my mood changes. In one moment I can be happy and in the next I can be sad. I need to learn to control my emotions. Another one is when you start rebelling against your parents as an adolescent. We have to know how to deal with these things every day.
When you're a big woman, you cannot do many things. Even if you say, well, you know, when you're young, you can say, I see myself in 5 years or 10 years to come. You know, you can work hard. But now when you are old, you know, you're a mature woman, you're done wanting everything.
Is it fantastic to be 13?
I'd say life was better when I was younger. Now that I'm older, I can't go out on the street. I mean, I can go out, but not as much. Or go and play there the way small kids do, like ride a bike. The area that I live in, the environment there is not very good. Boys misbehave with girls, especially after they've had a drink or two. They even eat paan and just hang around. I'm not comfortable going out there, and my parents don't allow me either.
Children see the world as a game, but as teenagers, we begin to become more aware, more thoughtful, and we see the world in another way. We look for solutions to our problems. We have duties to deal with, but those responsibilities are what make us more mature.
Ana Gabriela Caballero Tallo. That's it for this edition of the Global Development Podcast. Thanks to all the girls. They were Cynthia, Valentina, Muskan, Asia, Ramya, Jennifer, Anna, Gabriella. If you want to see who these girls are and explore their stories in more detail, there's an interactive available now. Go to theguardian.com/global-development. Thanks to our reporters, Zofine Ebrahim, Celeste Hicks, Deborah Doan, Dan Collins, Zoe Flood, Stephanie Aguiletti and Sibelia Brodzinski. Special thanks to Mark Anderson and Lucy Lamble for their organisational skills. The producer was Matt Hill. I've been Carla Quaithi-Ookai. Thanks for listening.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.